your show starts to really lose credibility as a drama when you've got someone that basic. Because like she's like, how was I supposed to know the dry ice was going to burn someone? Like, well, I feel like...
You're a danger to yourself and others.
Yeah. How did you get your hands on that much dry ice?
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show that you've never watched. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a television series and then the very last episode of that television series and just try and figure out what happened. My name's Morgan and joining me to do this is my good friend and the guy who normally sits next to me but is now sitting opposite me, Jeremy Weissman. Jerome. Well, diagonal of me, I should say.
Opposite, diagonal, whatever you want. Yeah. Both are correct.
Not that the listeners care.
They do. They care about the orientation of us whilst we podcast. Actually, we shouldn't let them behind the curtain.
No.
Let's keep an air of secrecy.
Well, that's why there's that real deep
subreddit.
They don't want to
know how the sausage is made.
Exactly. To my right is Scott Burgess. Scott, how are you?
I don't want to know, but you're going to continue telling everybody the geography.
I'm in there. I can't get out. So
yeah,
the only way to dig myself out of this hole is dig deeper.
Fair enough. How are you going? I'm
all
well.
In China.
All the way to China.
Yeah, which pop is out the other end. Go through the molten core of the earth.
Geographically,
somehow survive.
Underneath us.
Everyone knows
some
that.
Would have you believe.
Exactly. And lastly, opposite me.
So what do you mean?
Directly opposite me.
Was that a little bit of a hint at the fact that maybe you're a flat earther?
I don't think that's
some
how...
Some would have you believe that if you dig downwards, you come out the other side of the earth. But we all know that you just dig straight through to space.
Exactly.
It's true.
You
fall off.
And what's opposite me is George. And George... This is exciting. Jeremy cut off your introduction.
Thank you,
Jeremy. Now you're really a part of the podcast.
I just wanted to make it feel at home.
Oh, well, you know. We deal with this is a regular occurrence.
We are actually in your home currently, so.
Don't, Scott. God.
We're talking about how the sausage is made.
This is a geography-based podcast.
Exactly. George, second episode on board. How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling excited.
Yeah? How are you recovering after Roseanne?
Yeah, it was draining. It was an emotional roller coaster.
It does. I mean, Roseanne was a lot darker than I anticipated. That's a good thing that we've got a nice, wholesome Australian show to pick us back up and carry us into this next episode.
I would not say this show is wholesome.
There is a lot.
In
of
a classic sense.
Well,
there are wholesome elements.
Yeah.
The beauty of friendship is on display for all to see, Scott.
Exactly. Mm. What are you referring to, Scott?
I don't know. Watching your housemate fuck someone else on the rooftop, something like that.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Well,
we've all been there.
I think you're splitting hairs a little bit, but still. We did The Secret Life of Us, an Australian classic. Second Australian show, is it? Or was it the third? Second.
It would be the second.
Yeah.
Previously, Packed to the Rafters. Yeah, that's all we've done.
We attempted McLeod's Daughters.
We did, but that classically did not
go. That was a long time ago.
We don't talk about that anymore.
We don't talk about that anymore. That's it's a forgotten part of the podcast. But no, this was... I'm really glad we actually did this. And I must admit, it was better than I thought it was going to be. I think I just go in with the preconception that every show we do is going to be really bad.
Mm.
But it's likely that a lot of these shows aren't. And this is one of those examples. Had a lot more famous Australians in it than I anticipated in that first episode.
It was underbelly before underbelly was underbelly, basically.
So it's the underbelly of underbelly.
What does that mean?
It means that it was a show where they just sent an email out to every single... They used the group...
CC all Australian actors.
Yeah, that's every TV show.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's
and
true.
And film.
Especially ones with like a broad base of characters, though. They just have to...
Mm.
Everyone just bobs up, has a little cameo.
You go in, do your bit...
There just aren't that many.
They're only missing Shane Jacobson.
And I'm sure
Justin Clark from Play School.
Yeah, and Bill McInnes, I believe, is in a couple episodes down the line.
I reckon that makes sense. Shane Jacobson probably bobbed up as like some sort of service worker.
It would have been Kenny would have been
It's
pre-Kenny.
Maybe one of them had like a busted toilet, and he comes up and.
I'm tipping Brian Brown played Samuel Jansen, Samuel Johnson's dad.
John Howard, the actor, not the Prime Minister.
I reckon both. I think both.
Yeah. Both, yeah.
Well, it was the Howard era.
This is true.
The golden age of Australia.
John Howard is leader. John Howard is the most prominent Australian actor in the film industry.
Back when St Kilda was St Kilda. And
yeah.
The
rest in peace,
ESPY.
St Kilda.
I got a lot to say about St Kilda.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Mm. Had you guys seen this show, George? You saying
yes?
You
had seen I have it? Seen it all. I binged and watched what? It when I was getting my wisdom teeth taken out when I was like 20.
That's an interesting
whilst,
choice.
Whilst they were being
during
taken
the
out.
Procedure.
Okay, that's a long procedure. Yeah.
That's, how that they, a- that's how they put you out. They just distract you with Australian drama.
Yeah,
yeah. They've got to do it slowly, as to not disrupt it. Though that's why it took 4 seasons. One so, for each yeah. tooth.
Ouch.
Jesus.
That's a real slow pull.
Yeah.
Had you guys seen much?
I was aware of it. Mm. I reckon just through osmosis, being an Australian show and being around back when in the day where all I had was commercial television.
Mm. I reckon your mum would have watched it.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. And I'm sure I just absorbed some of it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Quite likely.
But I don't know. When 2001, I was probably too young to really be interested in anything like this.
Being yes, mm. because you were 11.
I was actually 12.
Not as like so, naughty programming, you know?
Take that back. Yeah, I might have had a sneaky wank to it after Mum.
Yeah. Claudia Carvin.
There were a lot of boobs in the first boobs. Episode.
There
yeah.
was a lot yeah. of boobs early on. They came in hot with the boobs, actually. And Jeremy, you alluded to this off air. Samuel Johnson playing a bit of a sex god in this.
Mm. He was. Yeah. I don't know if he wrote the show, but he was the narrator, so... Yeah, very, very odd casting choice for the sex god of the group, but
it's just very.
I mean, he was you know enticing, a bit of a tortured apparently. Writer,
but this is the St Kilda world, like
true.
That where kind it's of not about it's slimy, not about how you look, it's yeah. how you think.
That's true. Back and when St Kilda
shirts,
was cool.
What kind of shirts you wear?
Yeah,
preferably like sort of from an op shop.
Loud and baggy.
Mm.
His hair is
floppy.
Yeah, but it's a bit of no man's land. It's kind of a mullet.
Mm. Mullet, floppy, bit yeah. unkept. He yeah. looks like a dirty rider.
But he does look
smokes, you know. He's got that allure. Mm. I don't know. Some like what's who's that guy that was with Amy Winehouse for that whole time? What was his name?
I don't know.
That bit, Pete is it Pete?
That was Kate Moss. Pete Doherty.
Pete Doherty. Yeah.
The other wrong Pete. Reference.
Well, shit. I don't know. Who's who was Pete Amy Doherty? Winehouse with?
I don't know.
Well, mm. R.I.P.
Okay, back to the show. Let's
Amy Winehouse tributes aside.
Exactly. Maybe we should.
We just got to get that out of the way.
All right. Now that we've done the
we miss you, Amy.
Now that we've done the Amy Winehouse tribute, let's move into episode one and bash this out.
The Secret Life of Us centers around 8. Yes, that's right, 8 characters: Miranda, Richie, Will, Alex, Evan, Kelly, Jason, and Gabrielle. They all live in St Kilda and have presumably fucked each other at some point.
We're forever moving around and changing loyalties, but in the end, always choosing each other.
With the Sex and the City type setup, we experience the drama through Evan, an up-and-coming writer who somehow gained the ability to sleep with anybody despite having no redeemable qualities. He and his housemate Alex need somebody to move in, and recently fired Kelly seems like the perfect choice.
It's a great flat. What do you guys do?
I'm a doctor and Evan's a...
Sorry.
And she feels perfectly at home after watching Alex have sex with Jason on the rooftop. Then we have Richie and Miranda, who are two aspiring actors, although Richie seems to be having more luck than Miranda. Meanwhile, Will, a happy-go-lucky type played by Joel Edgerton, lets an old flame back into his life only to have her try and fleece him for $12,000. The episode ends revealing that Alex's rooftop rendezvous with Jason was behind the back of his partner and her best friend, Gabrielle.
I want to just quickly lead in and start with the argument that Deborah Mailman has, which is Kelly, as you refer to. Mm. Deborah Mailman has with her boss, who's also like the guy she's been sleeping with. When he comes out and confronts her, and then like he comes, like gets in her face about, you know, you left work midway through the day, da da da. And then he walks back inside and goes to and slams the door, but the door actually swings both ways, so it just kind of flows back and forth.
Foiled.
Yeah, mm. just really, I don't know whether it was. Like he ad-libbed that
intentionally,
and or whether or not they was like, yeah, just slam the door, and they didn't realize that, you know, it went that it was like yeah. a door that would go both ways, and they're like, well, we kind of can't afford to shoot that again, so let's just keep it.
Sounds like Australian filmmaking, yeah, at its finest. Yeah. We're added in post.
They just cut as soon as the door gets halfway. That's weird and abrupt.
Add the banging sound.
But unfortunately, this was before the invention of post production, so
yeah,
they couldn't.
It's true.
The phrase existed. Yeah. But
this all happened in really real time.
Yeah, this whole thing was shot in one shot. Like, it's just one continuous shot the whole time.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm. Yeah, believe it.
Yeah. Incredible filmmaking. It's like, what's that? Something Russian arc. Have you seen that?
No.
Anyway, it's just one shot and it goes for like 3.5 hours.
That's a deep cut, Scott.
Deep cut.
Mm. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no one's seen it.
No, I think a fair few people have seen it.
I mean, the people that made it and you.
Okay.
Just really going after Scott there,
yeah,
aren't you?
I'm running. Yeah. Get me out of here.
This is a change of pace. This is normally a conversation I'm having with Jez.
Woo! Where do we want to start here?
Well,
we want to start with
great question.
The glory days of St Kilda.
Can I start with an opening comment about the acting?
Yeah. Mm.
Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah.
I think the problem with this episode and all Australian TV in general is that the actors they use, they don't have enough TV experience. Like, they're stage trained.
Yeah.
They're trained in the theatre. They should just get them to improvise dialogue. They are so awkward and overly articulate.
Yeah.
Like, that is not how you, like, when Will and Richie are like playing pool and Will says something about it being like,
well, now that you're a big movie star, you could join one of those $1 million fitness clubs.
Just call him a wanker and be done with it.
Yeah
exactly. Mm. And they over deliver.
Yeah.
It's so awkward.
Like, they're really trying to project even though there's a microphone like just right in their face. They don't need to project.
What do you mean? I'm not sure what you're mad at me about.
You're being very obstructive, Constable. I need to go back to work, guys. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
See you, Jason.
It's just, I see what you mean. Claudia Carvin's.
They try too
Claudia
hard
Carvin's
to be
she's
natural.
Yeah, she's fine. Samuel Johnson's okay, but everyone else, even Edgerton seems really out of place. Like, his character is so bland, and he's a good actor.
Well, he's arguably the one who's done the best.
Well, he's the most accomplished out of everyone.
For
so
sure.
It's like they're playing themselves. Like, they would live similar this time of life. Like, they would live
that's
similar
what I
lives.
Two of them are actors. Like,
they are late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, they would have probably all lived
in
a share
house
in
St Kilda. Yeah.
That's another thing I want to sort of point out that I didn't like. They're trying to make it all very, like, relatable and, you know, cliche. Like, oh, you know, a group of young people living in an apartment block in St Kilda. But, you know, how common it, like, just the two actors, like, that's just something they just went, oh, cool, American sitcom, we'll take that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there were elements they could have just really been quite original and they kind of opted not to be.
Who knows that many writers in there? No one makes it as a writer in their early 20s to the point where they can just sit at a computer
and
their,
just type all
their
day.
Share house bedroom and make money off it. Especially not back then. Maybe now if you've got a successful blog or something, but is he writing a book?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Writing a very column. They don't really specify what journalist.
I thought he was a columnist.
Yeah. Maybe he has a job. I can't remember.
I don't think he did.
I don't remember him doing anything.
Other voiceovers meant to be Sex and the City-esque in that, like, that's his, maybe that's his column that.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but
this
then
is what goes into his writing every week.
Then, like, Kelly starts doing a voiceover as well.
Yeah,
and
true.
That's like, in the last episode, though.
No. In the first episode, where she's like, she's on the tram and she's like, yeah, sometimes when you're so far away from. Fuck, we'll stop. Like, you know.
The acting a little bit jarring, but otherwise, yeah, like,
the setting's good. I think I really like that St Kilda setting. But it's the acting that gets me, and just some of the elements of the story that you could just feel like, man, you could have done this way better. Like, I'd like to think that sort of improved over the course of the season. But just, like, little interactions, like when the casting director rings and Joel Edgerton picks it up and he just grabs a pen and starts writing massively on his arm. And just little things like that. It's like, oh, this is what natural young people do. It's really natural.
I don't care about my arm.
They don't have paper.
No, and just like when they're in the bathroom, like they're in the bathroom together. Like, in my time of living with people, did I ever just walk in on my housemate, take a piss while they're like brushing their teeth?
No.
That's not a normal thing to do.
No. No, it doesn't happen.
No, it does not happen. And it's trying to make it look, oh, it's so casual. Look at this.
Look at us friends.
Our friendly interactions.
So speaking of interactions, probably the most awkward and poorly written interaction in the first episode, at least, was it had to be Joel Edgerton's character with Tasma Walton's character when she's asking for the money.
That is probably one of the worst scenes I've ever seen in my life.
Riding along on a children's bike. She's walking
along the St Kilda foreshore.
Along the St Kilda foreshore.
Why are these people at work?
I don't know. And I don't know. It must just be an endless sort of summer. Mm. Constant daylight savings and this guy's knocked off. He did look like he was a tradie, so it could just be like 3:30.
Could have been.
Anyway, they used to date and they haven't seen each other in a really long time. Mm. And the first thing she does when she comes back into his life is ask for $12,000, even though she's not looking to reconnect with him. She just wants his money.
And also, it's like not a do or die sort of thing. It's just like, oh, I just to need it to, in a bar. To yeah. start up
a,
yeah.
Open a prison style bar.
As if he'd have 12 grand.
Well, yeah.
That's the thing. And then he's renting.
Yeah. He's like, well, I don't really have it. So I can't really give it to you, sorry. And then she cracks the shit to him.
No, she says, he questions her going, hey, did you just come to me to get the money? Yeah. And she's like, oh, and then storms off. Where it's very clear that she did just come to him to get the money. Yeah, that's exactly so get off your high horse.
He's just too dumb to realize it.
Perfectly valid question as well.
Yeah.
You're about to give someone $12,000. You're allowed to ask some questions.
And not only that, her idea is like, oh, like a really good coffee.
They don't have that here.
They don't have that here.
They don't have little tiny bars. Oh, no, they have a million in St. Kilda.
In Melbourne, we don't have good coffee in small bars.
Exactly. Oh, God. That's the thing.
You've been to Melbourne?
It's literally just that. Like, it's the one thing we have.
It is that, the MCG.
It's just a series of small bars with great coffee and the MCG.
Also, is $12,000 going to get you that far? Really?
I thought so. Well, it depends how small the bar is going to be.
Yeah. It's seed money.
really, really small.
It seats two people, like those tiny ones in Japan.
Like a coffee pod machine it's and like you, a bottle of cognac.
You cup your hands together, it's about this small. Yeah. It's real small.
It's, she's probably hitting up like six or seven boyfriends for for varying degrees 12 of grand money. Age. Like, she's worked at the percentages.
This was before crowdfunding when you had to actually go out and crowdfund yourself. You can't just start a Kickstarter.
The thing is, it's what you do, you just hit up your exes.
Yeah.
Mm. So you wouldn't understand, Scott, you're younger than us. So.
Oh, I'd give out, don't have enough exes.
$12,000 hand jobs to all your ex-boyfriends.
That'd be a really good hand job.
What? I don't know. I feel like Joel Edgerton doesn't know the value of a handjob.
I fucking loathe St. Kilda.
Oh, it's the worst. Like, it's the worst place.
I really hate
St.
Kilda. Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Like, I have to go there tomorrow night, and I'm dreading it.
I literally, I saw a guy walk like in front of a 7-Eleven buying crack, and he was literally holding the crack pipe in his hand. It was like nothing about wasn't trying to be discreet about it at all. Just put the pipe in your pocket. You don't need to hold it. Like, you don't need to prove that you're going
to
smoke it.
At least that's a bit interesting. Like, you go to St. Kilda, it's just like big apartments. Like, the most sanitized, boring people live there. It's just terrible.
And heaps of backpackers.
Heaps of backpackers.
Yeah. There's nowhere there to, like, eat or drink. It's just terrible.
And ridiculously, ridiculously expensive. Mm. Their house, the apartments that they supposedly lived in, well, there was like the rooftop was probably 200 meters from the beach.
Yep.
Yeah.
But also, it's also
like 80 square meters.
And the three people splitting that, one's a doctor, granted. The other one's an ever so often writer. And the third one's unemployed. Like, how are they?
It's all very unbalanced. And the guy at the top was a lawyer. So,
which makes sense.
Yeah, so two lawyers.
Two lawyers, a doctor, and then three people that are... Joel Edgerton has to be a tradesman. That's all I can imagine.
Yeah, the actors. Like, what are they doing?
They wouldn't have been making any money.
That'd be like $1,000 a week for that apartment.
Not only that, though, that it's very disjointed because the apartment from the exterior is very, very clearly, like in more inland St. Kilda. Like, it's very...
Yeah, it's
But then when they're on the rooftop, you are right on the waterfront. So it's like, I'm assuming there's some sort of teleportation device on the top.
They show it in like the second or third episode.
I think
It's kind of like one of the major premises, like the portal gun in Rick and Morty.
Exactly. You know, it's a similar plot device.
Yeah. they don't bring it up in the first... Because they had to develop the characters. And they're like, oh, also, we've got this interdimensional St. Kilda portal. Not quite interdimensional.
Exactly. It's just going to take you from like Carlisle Street to the Esplanade.
Mm.
That.
Trans-suburban balcony.
Yep.
The one big criticism, you made a great point, George. The other criticism I have of this, so I have multiple now, is that one of the issues with this show, and I understand that shows like this often have, it's meant to be like character-based shows and you're supposed to be really involved with the characters' lives. There's really nothing of substance happening at all. Like, nothing really interesting is taking place.
Just a bunch of 20-somethings joshing about.
Yeah, exactly. But even like with shows like that, there's always like a central story arc, like How I Met Your Mother is...
Right, like a point to the show, a trajectory.
This doesn't seem...
I don't think you should be comparing it to How I Met Your Mother if you want a central story arc.
Yeah, no. What I mean is, I'm saying that there
it's
is...
It's like some sort of... poorly written MacGuffin, basically, that they only start fleshing out at like the last or
in
second
defense,
last season.
In defense, from memory, I think the story arc is that Evan's in love with Alex.
Evan's in love with Claudia Carvin.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
from memory.
All right, well, shoot apart my theory.
He's in love with the doctor and he's in love with
himself.
Being a voiceover artist. And every single woman in St. Kilda.
Exactly.
That's a four-way sort of love square.
My criticism is Miranda.
Which one's Miranda? The blonde one?
The blonde one. The actress.
The actress.
She is.
Her voice is annoying.
Very volatile.
Oh, very volatile.
Low talker.
Just tell Richie I'm going to go home.
Very childish, I would say.
Serial low talker. She's whispering all of the dialogue.
Oh, the low talker. Yeah, don't like that. That's why you're not getting any gigs, because if you're low talking.
Exactly. Speak up.
Yeah.
Oh, also, do you guys find it really weird in that scene, like how, okay, when Deborah Melvin goes to meet Samuel Johnson and Claudia Carvin, and she's like, you know, keeps getting phone calls and answering, like, and she keeps answering him. It's like,
oh, turn your phone off.
Yeah. Just don't answer it.
You know what
if you've snuck away from work, you shouldn't be answering your phone.
Yeah, just turn your phone off.
But it's her work calling her, right? I'm pretty sure that it would just be her work trying to call her. You've done the wrong thing and they're going to be trying to call you. Turn it off.
Just don't pick up.
If you were interviewing a housemaid and they didn't have a job and
she had a job during the interview. Well, maybe they were just... Well, during the interview, she had a job. She didn't lose a job till after the interview.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah, that's
but by
true.
The time they offered her the house, she they had no job. And she was being really weird. Would you give her a house?
So cast your mind back to 2001.
Yeah.
If you have a mobile phone...
Rich.
Yeah, basically a billionaire. They must just assume that she's some sort of oil mogul or...
Naturally.
Media mogul, and that she could just sort of support them all.
Pull money from anywhere.
Exactly.
Interesting theory.
To take your question seriously.
Thank you.
I think they found her endearing because she was a bit, you know, clumsy and fallible. And she was all over the place. And
which, like, the show seems to be a collection of outcasts.
Exactly.
Is the idea.
She was relatable.
Mm.
A bit quirky. She had quirky glasses, George. She had a chair
and
a stocking.
Quirky bag.
She's very flustered all the time.
Devil may care attitude.
Exactly.
You know?
And she's just so blessed. Left her phone behind, which Samuel Johnson weirdly answers.
No. What the bloody hell are you talking about? She left the thing here and... Yeah, well, it's not my problem, Einstein, if you're into it.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And I thought he answered it because he didn't know it was her phone, but he knew it was her phone.
No, he's like,
I think that might have been the protocol in 2001.
You just answer.
You have to
if
answer.
You phone, if you see a
you
phone ringing,
phone.
Well, people
in kind any of, circumstances. Like,
they were kind of shocked and scared and confused by mobile phones. So
I can understand
I guess
before,
I answered this.
Before the mobile voicemail.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you don't answer it. What's going to happen?
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know.
No one knows. It's never happened before. We can't let it get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody else get some serious creepy vibes from the guy at the bar, like the bartender?
Simon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wearing like a karate
kimono.
Yeah.
And his voice is just like so bizarre.
Yeah.
Looks like yet again, three's a crowd.
Yeah, she's old enough to be his mother.
Do you love me, Simon?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird interaction, wasn't it?
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Is he a serial killer? Like, what's the deal?
He sounds like William McGinnis in Kath and Kim playing Sandy Freckle.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
You like to get round, don't you? You are a bit of a goer, aren't you, Kath? You are a bit spunky, aren't you? Yes, you are a bit spunky in your...
Oh, stop it, Sandy. Don't do that.
Beep, beep, Barina.
Yes. Oh, Sandy Freckle.
So this guy's supposed to be alluring, maybe? I don't know.
At least he turns out he's gay in the like in some last episode.
Is that the same guy?
Yeah, same one.
Okay.
He's the only one apart from Deborah that makes it through to season
the end.
Four.
But he's clearly probably the worst actor of all of them.
Yeah.
And that's why you gotta hang on to that one role you've got. And it's a real bit part role where you just kind of the bartender. It's like the bartender's always like the voice of reason.
The wise.
It's like
bartender.
It's like in
the psychologist. Yeah. And the
part psychologist, part Jesus, part everything. Good bartender.
Part priest.
He's also a Renaissance man. But yeah, that, I forgot about that voice. It's really creepy.
Mm.
Yes.
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 Oh, good. You would have sex with me. Thanks.
Yes, I would.
Yes. I'd love that very much.
Is that a candidate for the intro, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. I think it is.
Can we get it again?
Do you love me, Simon?
Yes.
So weird.
Oh, that's going in the intro.
He hesitates.
The lengthy pause as well.
I don't think the hesitation was not planned. That's complete accident.
He had to look down at his lines.
Line.
What is line?
What is line? Oh, Jesus.
Also, just on the note of terrible dialogue, back to when Joel Edgerton's ex-girlfriend's asking him for money, she says, "I wouldn't ask you, but I know you have it." What kind of fucking... What? Like,
I wouldn't ask you if you didn't have it.
Yeah, like...
But you do have it. That's just like, good.
Your logical reasoning makes sense. You wouldn't ask somebody for money that doesn't have the money because they can't give it to you. What does that mean?
Yeah, is he meant to be flattered by that or... Yeah. Meant to make him feel a little bit better. She's honored that she's coming to him.
I wouldn't shake your hand if you didn't have one.
Just go to Rove.
What? Like,
just go to Rove.
Mm. Oh, that's right. It's Rove's wife,
yeah,
isn't it?
Mrs. Rove.
Yeah, Tasma Walt.
Mrs. Rove.
Mrs. Rove.
Mm, no way.
Because would she go by Tasma Rove now? Or
she Rove.
Because Rove just has one name.
Or whatever he's actually
saying. Yeah. It's like a model of a car.
Rove.
Tasma Rove.
Tasma. It does sound like Tasma Rove.
Oh, it's the 2017 Tasma Rove.
Yeah.
$12,000 worth of extras.
Can we please talk about the sex scene on the rooftop?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was
weird. Yeah. I felt uncomfortable.
I think what I found most uncomfortable is how much they stared at each other.
Yes. Yeah. Why didn't one of them leave?
Keep eye contact the whole time.
Probably the person having sex.
If you live in that building, just go down to your room. Well,
yeah.
Oh, but they were trying to... Wait, they're trying to keep it hidden. Why are they doing it on a rooftop? Because you find out at the end of the episode that, like, that's the partner of her best friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Gabby, yeah.
I wonder all that when all that comes to light.
Mm. I can't remember because I think they're together as a couple for most of it.
Claudia Carvin and Jason? Or the
Gabby and Jason.
Right.
So it survives the roof incident.
Looking at the IMDb profile of this show, it has insane amount of cast come in and out. Joel Edgerton's in it for I was looking at his block. He's in it for the first 30, out of the next 10, back for 10 more. Like really weird patterns of being in and out of the show.
Vince Colosimo's in it.
Yeah. I think Vince Colosimo ends up with Claudia Carvin.
He does.
Yeah. I did some reading.
Yeah.
I did some extracurricular reading. So this show was actually dual funded.
Pre or post Wogboy?
Post. Okay. Oh, wait, maybe it's pre. 2001.
Wogboy was 98.
Yeah. Okay. Post Wogboy. So prime Colosimo. Just absolute.
We all know that right now he's not prime Colosimo.
No, he's a.
He's been busted for possession 3 or 4 times.
Has he?
Yeah.
Has he
really? For meth.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Neville fucking Bartos.
Yeah. Old Vincy boy.
Oh, Vince. Mm. No.
Think that curly hair's natural?
The throne.
He's going to get through it.
Yeah.
He is? Curly hair's from the meth?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Is that what meth does?
Yeah, it's a side effect.
Rots your teeth and sends your hair curly?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a telltale sign. Yeah. Your friend's hair goes curly? Meth.
Exactly.
Nine times out of ten,
it's meth. Dual funded by Optus Television. Is that what you were going to say?
No. It's dual funded by Channel 4. UK Channel 4.
Yeah. How much would... Backpackers.
Oh, is that St Kilda?
This. Yeah. Oh my god!
Oh, I love St Kilda. So
that is like the opposite of the Stop the Boats ad.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my fucking god! Come
Let's
here.
Get as many people from the UK as we can.
Maybe this is why. This is what ruined St Kilda.
This because show this ruined was St Kilda.
Simulcast in the UK. All the people in the UK are like, oh man, this is look how cool
because
St Kilda is.
Before St Kilda Have Us, they were all watching Neighbours, so they're all going to Nunawading.
Oh, okay.
So, of course.
Whatever. And then they came to St Kilda.
So that's why we've got those two English enclaves, one in Nunawading and one
that's
in...
That's right.
That's the real secret.
Right. That's why Home and Away was smart. They made up a place.
Yeah.
So it's just diluted the pool, so they're scattered everywhere now. Just as what we were saying before. So Channel 4 funded this and so did Channel 10. After season 3, Channel 4 in the UK pulled out.
Okay.
That's where the massive...
Because they lost all the cast.
Oh.
Well, no, that resulted in a lot of... Because
that's where all the money was coming from?
I think so. I think so.
Why did they pull out?
I think just show started to sort of lose popularity in the UK. So they just dropped out of it. So I know because Samuel Johnson was in the start of season 4 from what I've read. And then he leaves early on. Claudia Carvin leaves.
Get that sweet Hungry Jack's money.
Well, exactly. Mm. He just found a better cash cow, and that's Hungry Jack's.
Mm. More economical for time.
Exactly. Mm.
Takes 30 seconds to do a voiceover.
Now, I've seen Toast of London. I know how it works.
Yes.
Yes. It was about around that time where they had some other, just basically the cast is completely gone. Everyone just left. So I think that, and so all Deborah Mailman absorbed the remaining funds, and that's why they kept her.
Real Deborah Mailman centric storylines.
Apparently, because if you like,
well, how could they afford Stephen Curry?
It's a good question, actually.
Yes. But let's, he doesn't cost much.
let's on Stephen Curry. Let's jump into episode two.
With a host of new characters, all we're left with from the original troupe is Kelly. She's finally found a man, but has to suffer through a long distance relationship.
I used to think if you brought all the elements of your life into balance, you could attain perfect happiness. Now I'm not so sure. After all, it's a lot to try and get right.
Oh, and she's sort of in love with her flatmate Justin, but it's not really that important, apparently. Stephen Curry has been introduced as some kind of replacement for Evan, but doesn't quite live up to his prowess.
This whole fiancé thing, what's going to happen then?
Although he does convince his partner to turn down a fully paid for house in order to be with him. I mean, what would you choose? As Kelly flirts with an old flame, new character Bree literally burns her friends in a hairdressing competition, and the series ends with a big old party and a slow zoom out of the St Kilda foreshore.
I'm going to kick us straight in here, and I want to talk about Lucy, the redheaded woman who has the affair with out of shape Stephen Curry.
Yeah. before
his NBA career.
Steph Curry, sorry. Yeah. But her haircut.
That's exactly what I thought too.
You know who had that haircut? Me in 2002.
It's
when
also
I was 13.
It's also a very like Brunswick mum hairdo.
It is.
Like she'd have a Subaru and a Kelpie.
She's got to put it in a perfect house.
Always wearing sailor pants.
Yep. Fisherman's pants.
Yeah. Who would you pick out of Stephen Curry and like billionaire Piers?
Piers Morgan. Even if I didn't love him, I really love Stephen Curry.
Piers Morgan.
Just bought a house because.
Just because.
Yeah. And presumably like in east of Melbourne.
And like, was it no questions asked? Was he just going to... regardless of whether she stayed with him or not, he was going to give her the house?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. He's basically bribing her.
Yeah, exactly. He's flexing. He's flexing and trying to show how much of a loser Stephen Curry
but
is.
But he's also a loser. Like, she's left you, but you're going to buy a really expensive house to win her back.
Yeah.
You've bought it.
The fact that she's left him for Stephen Curry as well is indicative
that would be hurtful.
How much of a loser that other guy is.
So to paint a picture for those at home, well, first of all, there's a hand-drawn picture I could only assume the character himself did of... who
Gary,
is it?
It's Gary Hocking.
Former
Geelong footballer Gary Hocking.
On the wall.
In his bedroom.
So and odd. It is just horrendous.
And
as well as numerous Krusty Demons.
It's...
Krusty Demons posters.
And he has one of those... What are those necklaces called?
Shell ones.
Yeah.
That was so popular back then.
And those beanies that like... The really sort of long beanies.
Yeah.
Pull right down that you only see it like... you probably only ever see them in Centrelink now.
Mm. Exclusive range.
It was a real... And this... Like, you may think we're describing a 16-year-old here, but no, this is meant to be like a man in his late 20s, early 30s.
What he looks like, it's like, you know, when you're on Facebook and you see the, like, I'm 26 and I'm dating a 17-year-old starter pack, and it's denim shorts, long beanie, shark tooth necklace, and a monster cap.
The kind of guy that parks his VN Commodore out the front of high schools and tries to pick up. Just real deadbeat.
Real. Anyway, so she's chosen.
So he's too lazy to do that, even.
Like, yeah, exactly. He's just gone. He's probably mistaken this woman for someone because of the hair. The hair is just. I just couldn't stop pointing it out. I just rewind a couple of times to look at it.
Like, even then, it wasn't good, right?
I don't understand at what point that was a good look.
Maybe early 90s.
It
was popular in the early 90s, but it was never good.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my opinion.
But it is
certainly not in 2006.
No. What is interesting though is that I would say that Stephen Curry probably had probably a bigger profile in 2006 than anyone else who had been on the show at that time. It's weird that he came in the last sort of bracket.
Did he though? Because all he'd really done up to that point was The Castle.
The Castle.
That was a long time ago.
I guess maybe his profile. Maybe I'm just overstating Stephen Curry's profile.
I mean, has he done that much since?
He's
really
done a couple of. I don't know,
telly
like
movies?
John Edwards. Is it John Edwards who does like... what are they called? All the ones with Claudia Carvin and stuff. He's been in a couple of
like
those.
Offspring and that sort of thing.
Love My Way.
Spirited. Yeah. Not to be confused with crossing over John Edwards.
That's right.
We should say.
John Edwards. No. Although he might have been in an episode of that. I'm not sure.
It's true.
We're not here to speculate.
After his career died.
He played Graham Kennedy in that's the right. biopic about.
Oh yeah, that was Graham his Kennedy. Big. That's probably been his.
That's
biggest
his biggest thing.
Thing.
And he's in the Smiths ads.
Yeah,
the Smiths chips.
Also a big gig.
Oh, and he does the Toyota AFL ads.
Also a big.
Is this the only way?
Of course. Yeah, that's the big deal.
Like, if you don't move to America as an Australian actor, the only way you can support yourself is just by doing ads for Smiths chips and Optus.
Pretty much.
Also, this is an Optus Television funded show. Also, this Optus Television has something to do with it. And then Samuel Johnson goes on and does Optus ads.
Mm. Coincidence? I think
Scott,
not.
Scott, you might just be scratching the surface.
Cracking
of
this case wide open.
Conspiracy theory. We're not.
It's like insider trading for television.
He also played Damien Oliver in The Cup.
Oh, of course. Classic miniseries. Was it a miniseries?
No, it was a movie.
He's a real miniseries kind of guy.
Damien Oliver is an Australian legend.
Of course. George, he won The Cup.
The Cup.
Had nothing to do with that horse, though.
No, it's all the jockey.
It's all the jockey.
Only an idiot would think that the horse would run faster without a 50-kilo man on the back of it.
Surely we could get to a level where you don't need the jockey. You don't need the jockey anymore, and you just let him go. I guess that's like dog racing.
Yeah.
You just get him to chase something. What do horses really want, though?
Freedom. I think they want freedom.
Yeah. Okay.
Carrots and freedom.
So they like an open pen. Yeah. Paddock at the end of it.
With a sign saying, "You will not be killed."
I do want to point out, though, Stephen Curry. He played the king. Samuel Johnson played Molly Meldrum in the biopic about. Molly Meldrum.
Yeah, coincidence?
Yeah. I feel like you've made it as a domestic actor if you get...
Molly Meldrum is also a famed sort of St Kilda celebrity. Mm.
This is
loves
true.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, he played,
does. And he barracks for St
Kilda. Who played Kerry Packer in How's That? Joel Edgerton?
No, that was...
Lockie Hume.
Lockie Hume.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Did he turn up in Sugar Love?
Surely. He's another
He would have, yeah, for sure.
Asha Keddie? I reckon she would have been.
She would have definitely would have cycled through there.
Is she an Australian actor or actress? If the answer is yes, then they were in Secret Life of Us.
Jeremy, I don't think it's politically correct to say actress anymore.
Isn't it?
Mm. I'll have to check. I'm not sure.
But was it in 2001 to 2006?
Possibly.
So this is a period podcast.
Getting back to the show, I want to talk about the new housemate with Kelly, the hairdresser. So she's using dry ice in the hairstyle she's trying to create.
A couple of sandwiches short of a picnic, I'd say.
I just can't understand. There's no way. Your show starts to really lose credibility as a drama when you've got someone that basic. Because she's like, how was I supposed to know the dry ice was going to burn someone? Like, well, I feel like...
You're a danger to yourself and others.
How did you get your hands on much dry ice?
Yeah, that's the
there is an enormous amount in that esky, an enormous amount. And she
just carried around an esky.
No, you didn't even have gloves on.
No, she just grabbed a set of tongs.
I've done Year 9 science. You're meant to wear gloves.
Yep.
Oh, man.
She hasn't. So she left in Year 8, clearly.
Probably.
1 year off getting her dry ice accreditation like the rest of us.
Yeah, it's like your pen license.
Card carrying dry ice.
I didn't know dry ice was just so readily available in St Kilda.
I don't think it is.
If you're a hairdresser, dry ice. Anything goes.
You can get your hands on anything. It's like walking around in high vis. You can just get in anywhere. Like if you could walk into something like, well, oh, I'm a hairdresser.
2006 was probably like peak for...
dry ice?
No, going to a pub dry on a Saturday night and at 10 o'clock it switches from the live band to the DJ.
Oh, yeah.
And the DJ always has dry ice.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point.
While we're on the topic of hair... which seems to be a theme in this episode. Can we talk about Aaron Pedersen's hair?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know how.
That is just an absolute catastrophe.
Reverse cheetah spots, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the way to describe it. Dark brown hair with like a few little blonde highlights. But not like tips or anything.
Just blotches.
No rhyme or reason.
Yeah. It looks like he like fell in a puddle. Yes. Someone die. And
a hairdresser just stood... really far back from him with a paintbrush dipped in.
That's like career-ending stuff. He's walked a fine line with that. I mean, you don't really recover.
He really came back from the brink. That should have been the end of his career.
Oh,
right there,
man, but when he got out of the car and you could see the tiger stripes from the back, you're like, Jesus Christ, this is not good.
This guy's had a rough.
Like they must
years.
Have cancelled the show based on that alone. Can we just discuss also? That final scene when she's at the party and she's hugging her goodbye.
Yeah.
Just
fucking max on.
We're gonna get into that for a second, but also midway through the party, she she just leaves.
Yes, that's a waste.
That's what I was saying.
Your own going away party.
Unless
your
flight is that night, you can stick around.
Yeah, of course you can.
But do it the night before or something.
She left in the morning anyway.
Yeah, she
was on the rooftop the next morning.
Bizarre.
Makes no sense.
Bizarre. She's like,
you ready to go, babe? But yeah, but in that sort of like that walking out, she just makes out with that guy.
That's
yeah.
why I was confused. I was like, here's the twist in that she's like, they're celebrating their wedding or something.
Yeah, no, she's not
going
away.
It's drowned out by the voiceover, but he mouths something to the effect of, I've always wanted to do that. But that doesn't really redeem it. Doesn't and she really goes along with it.
Yeah, yeah, she just rolls with it. And where's Aaron Pedersen?
If I was Aaron Pedersen, I'd be bloody furious.
Oh, I'd be.
Good footy job in Brisbane. He's, I don't know, off kicking the footy.
Is that what he describes as a good footy job?
Yeah, got a footy job up in.
Like what? Playing footy?
2006 Brisbane Lions.
Making footballs.
Yeah.
Oh, we were on a downward trajectory then. So I can tell you, that's not a good footy. That's not a good place to be.
That's why he got the tips. He asked for the Jason Ackermanis. And then the housemate hairdresser tried to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she botched it.
She absolutely botched it.
It'd be pretty easy to bleach someone's hair, but apparently not.
Well, she tried it with dry ice. So that's actually just all burns.
It's tricky.
You can tell, if you're a viewer of this show, you can see why it's cancelled season four. Like, there was one remaining character from the early days, literally zero stakes for everyone else. Like, everyone else has been in there for 8 or 9 episodes. They just all
like
fillers,
who like, does anyone care who Lucy ends up with? Who even is she?
No, I know that Ryan Johnson's character, the boyfriend of the hairdresser, he's in 9 episodes. So he's barely in it.
Yeah.
Barely in it. So you don't
that in the last episode. They're like, we've hardly been together or something like that. She says, are you going to move to England with me? He's like, well, no, we kind of just met.
Okay.
The other thing is people would like the viewership would have dropped off because it's just too unbelievable that at that point in 2006, there were that many Australians still living in St Kilda. It was just it was all backpackers by that point. Everyone knows it.
Yeah. Was there one single like foreign cast member?
I don't think so.
I think that like Samuel Johnson banged some like backpackers in a few episodes. That was about it.
I reckon he would have done some rent or something with backpackers.
Would you have thought they could find something in the budget? Something to get just like Claudia Carvin back for like, you know.
Just one
just the end. Like, oh, hi, we're here to see you.
They're all in Australia. Like, none of them went anywhere.
They probably Joel Edgerton maybe. They could have popped down to the ESPY for the.
I reckon it's probably really hard to get if you're an Australian actor and once you get out of one of these shows and get a bit of a high profile, I don't think any of them ever want to dip their toe back in it.
They
all want to stay away from it. It's not like with Roseanne where John Goodman's like, I want to go back and, you know, I want to go back and help out my
family.
For the
last, like it was a pretty high profile show. For the last episode, you just like,
get everyone back together for it.
Yeah.
Get Samuel Johnson there to do like the last bit.
Just get him to do the voiceover. Yeah. Don't even get him to appear.
Yeah. Just slip like the script in. Just get it. Get
in the latest Optus commercial.
Just get an inside man at Hungry Jack's, and when he's doing the Hungry Jack's records, just slip that one of those pages in there between like the burgers are better and flame grilled Whopper.
They could have just like
life's crazy when you're moving around a lot. Yeah. Wait, are you sure this is? You sure this is for Hungry Jack's?
Yeah, Sam, just read it. It's fine.
What does he say in the first one? My waking life's no different to my dreams.
It's so lame.
Yeah, life terrible. In St Kilda can seem like a dream.
It's pretty crazy.
Sometimes it's a bit more
you
like
a
nightmare.
You have a lot of sex and stuff.
I just like to live life on a whim. Alex likes her life structured.
Yeah, because she's got a real freaking job that actually contributes to society.
Exactly. Meanwhile, just hanging out banging backpackers. You fucking freak. He's a piece of shit now.
I really hate him now.
Yeah. Sleazing on women that come to like housemate auditions.
Oh, yeah.
Praying on women.
Yeah, praying.
He's just an absolute piece of shit. Real piece of shit.
Actually, next time I see Samuel Johnson, I'm going to punch him in the back of the head.
Oh, Jeremy, should encourage all don't joke do that. About that.
Yeah, George, it's a Simpsons joke. But I might. I won't punch him, but I'll confront him. He's gone away from the front. I'll punch him in the front. Morgan will punch him in the back. We'll sandwich him.
Do you think
pop him like a pimple.
But we only hate Evan, not Samuel Johnson. We hate Samuel Johnson a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. He's mainly just pretty smug.
I feel like they're the same
person.
They've
just both got the same face.
To separate the two,
yeah.
I feel like, just jumping back to adding him in post, I reckon there's enough voiceover work that you could have just like cut together all of his voiceovers and old scenes and just chucked it in and made it look like he was there the whole time.
Like the Simpsons...
what is it, the sweet candy thing?
That or the thing from Family Guy.
Venus to Milo.
When Tom Tucker shows that he's having an interview with Dustin Hoffman and it's just like all cuts from his movies.
Or get whoever did Pauline Pantsdown, get them in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
An Australian legend who knows how to cut someone's speeches
and turn it against them.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
I can't believe someone that was actually a thing in hindsight. That's...
Yeah, multiple. They had Backdoor Man and I Don't Like It.
So there was more than one song?
Yeah. You've heard Backdoor Man, haven't you, George?
No.
I don't know Backdoor Man. I know. I Don't Like It.
Yeah. I Don't Like It and I'm a Backdoor Man.
Yeah, right. Very prolific. I'm really glad that we've all sort of come to the point that Evan's a real piece of shit. Rick, yes. A real drag.
I wonder if people watching at the time felt that way too.
Or was he
beloved?
Yeah.
I think he seems so likable because he's so like...
Carefree, just doesn't give a fuck. They're whilst he's actually just negligent.
Yeah,
pretty negligent.
Carefree people are the worst people.
Oh yeah, big time. Mm. They're ruining modern
society. Unsustainable. It's unsustainable.
Yeah. Be stressed.
Exactly.
Yeah. The reason we have anxiety is just it keeps the society itself together.
Exactly. That's right. It's the glue that holds society.
Exactly.
Intact. You can't just be off banging backpackers on a Wednesday night, Evan.
And just telling you that your life's a dream because it's not. That's not how it works.
Yeah,
you need to get a real job.
He must be a trust fund kid.
That or he's mooching off Claudia Carvin's character.
One of the two.
Probably.
And that could be his mum.
And Claudia Carvin sort of was written out early season 3. So it's probably likely that Evan died of starvation somewhere in the early season 4 because he couldn't mooch off anyone else.
Yeah, because even in the first episode, she's doing the grocery shopping.
Oh, she's doing everything.
But she does the grocery shopping for the house?
Well, she had bags full of food.
Of course she did too.
And he's just kind of hanging out, banging... backpackers and wearing Hawaiian shirts.
That's his MO.
As was the style at the time.
Still is.
Still is.
It was in vogue.
Well, I reckon we could probably call it there on the finale of Secret Life of Us.
Before we get too far down the path of hating.
I have just hating on
a message for the viewers would be, give it a go.
Yeah.
It's a decent show. And Sybilla Budd, who plays Gabby, is a really good character.
Character?
Was she?
I mean... actress and the character's good.
Was she in any of the... Which
she's
one's
the
Gabby?
One, she's the one who's like the ministerial advisor. Not in it much, but she is like a main character. She
gets more prominent as the show goes along. I mean, I must admit that this wasn't... Like as much as we've sort of poked holes in it, it was not bad. It was okay.
Some of the interactions were bad, but you know, the three characters in the main house... are all pretty apart from Evan.
But he's interesting
to watch. And Samuel Johnson's not the worst actor.
We love watching pieces of shit. People love pieces
of shit.
Yeah, you've
got to have someone to hate.
People love dirtbags. Yeah. So, you know, you can see
Deborah Mailman's endearing and the other one's also a pretty convincing actress.
Yeah, she's good. Claudia.
Claudia Carvin, yeah. Claudia Carvin. Well, I guess you could say...
that name about 100 times. I still just spread in my head.
The three leads are pretty solid. Everyone at the supporting cast... The big thing is...
Joel Edgerton.
He is just...
He's not going anywhere.
He's so shit. Like, I can't believe he's
how's he the one...
How's he the most successful out of all of them? He's...
Oh, he's better than Miranda.
Oh,
she's terrible.
She's pretty bad. Agreed. But he's just so bland. I want to say it's the character, but I just don't think it is.
He just looks he doesn't want to be there at all. He looks bored. It's like, really bored.
It's like he knows his future. I'm like, I'm above this.
Yeah, this is so
I don't
crap.
Need to be here. That accent was a little bit weird.
I don't know where you were going with that.
Morgan, you speak naturally with an Australian accent. You don't need to do
it. I don't need
accent.
To put it on, do I?
No, you don't.
Like, that became like a little bit English, like a little bit of a Beatles accent.
You speak with a Melbourne accent.
It's like when I try and do John Travolta and it just comes out as Morty. Oh, jeez. okay, well, let's jump out of this and maybe jump into some reboots. Here's a problem. I don't have a reboot.
Oh, that is a problem.
Neither does anyone have a reboot?
I can make one up off the top of my head.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
I think in the style of Roseanne with the Connors, I think it should be like... reboot, like set now, get all the characters back together.
12 years later or whatever.
Yeah, realistically, people sort of, you know, semi-professionals and professionals living in St Kilda in the early 2000s, where would they be now? Probably living in like Sunshine or Reservoir with their children.
Taylor's Lakes.
Hating life.
Tarnate.
Yeah. I think that'd be good. Juxtaposition.
Evan would have died of syphilis.
No, Evan would be really gross and still living in St Kilda.
Yeah, still being a massive creeper.
Yeah.
Hey, girl. Yeah,
because when you go to St Kilda now, there are creeps, like creepy 6-year-old men.
Predators.
Well, he's not 60.
Who wish it was still the heyday of.
So he'd be hanging around like. He'd be late 40s now. Hanging around the bar. Yeah. Like.
Yeah.
Simon, trying to have a smoke inside and everything. No, you can't do that.
Simon would be like, hey, I told you can't smoke in here anymore.
Simon would definitely still be at the bar.
Still be there, yeah.
Poor Simon.
Yes.
That's really as far as I've got.
It's just going.
It's just them living just a really depressing, mundane life. Like.
That sounds like. It would be like a TV miniseries. Like.
Maybe one episode based around each of the characters.
It could be like The Big Chill. Maybe Simon the bartender dies.
Ooh.
Mm. Or Miranda, who cares?
Yes.
Kill one of them.
I really
Evan dies of syphilis. No.
Probably Joel.
I want Evan to be alive because like Evan would be, like at the funeral, Evan would be hitting on everyone left, right, and center and just getting nowhere.
It'd be Joel Edgerton because he'd be above coming back for the new series. Kill him off and they all come back to the bar with Simon. After the funeral and just reflect on.
Do you reckon Tasma Walton still tries to hit him up for cash even though he's dead? I need to borrow $96,000.
No, Tasma Walton, it turns out.
Sorry, Tasma Rove, apologies.
Tasma Rove was actually like a really savvy businesswoman and she's
empire.
She owns like 20 venues. She started like should have given me the 12 grand.
Yeah, she started like the Yo My Goodness chain, like something real weird like that. Mm.
It would have been a great investment.
Oh, naturally.
Yep. Was it an investment opportunity or was she trying to fleece Joel Edgerton?
I think she was trying to fleece Joel Edgerton so she get back overseas.
He wasn't signing any contracts.
So no. That's what the twist is. She wasn't. She was actually just going to invest the money.
Because he's not doing anything with it. Let's be honest.
Well, he's dead.
Oh, I mean, but he wasn't doing anything with it at the time.
I'm actually sorry. I did have a reboot that I wanted to bring up.
Oh, here we go.
Hold up now.
It was. I didn't really. I sort of only thought about it briefly because wasn't in love with it. But I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to sort of maybe you guys can help me flesh it out a little bit.
Let's have a crack.
So it is called The Secret Life of Us, but it's like US. So Secret Life of US.
Oh, of US.
And interesting.
What it is? It's so Trump gets impeached. Instead of all like a lot of his buddies, so he ends up moving back down to St Kilda and just starts he moves to St Kilda and starts
him
a new
and
life. Him and Pence and Pompeo and
Eric
Comey. It turns out Comey's already living down here, so he's like his rival,
Trump Jr.
Baron Kim Melania.
Just gets up what's left of his money and he starts starts writing his memoirs and he starts hanging out in an apartment in just in Ackland Street, just walking around talking about his dreams when I was the US president.
Sometimes life is a...
Sometimes life's a dream and you become the president. So it's basically Trump trying to...
Rolling ciggies.
Just trying to re-piece together the shattered remains of his life in St Kilda.
Interesting.
Secret Life of US.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch it.
No!
George, your reboot, what is it now? Just The Life of Us?
I was going to suggest that. It's
did
pretty
suggest
obvious
it just before.
Oh, so you just jumped in.
Yeah.
Did he come up with it or did I? I can't remember now.
You came up with it. Okay. You said it before.
We'll go back to the stenographer and check it out.
We have digital proof.
All right. Well, tell me how you like this one, Jez, because this is going to be some sort of like reality game show. I haven't 100% figured out how this is going to work, but it's called...
It feels like a common thread across the board here today.
It's called The Secret... Just The Secret.
Ooh.
I mean,
and it's a dating... Like the book. It's a dating game show. I think like everybody who's on the show, they say who their dream person is and then the producers of the show go out and find who their like dream boat is. But they've got like one secret that's like wrong with them and you have to see if like the person can overcome whatever that secret is and then like... go on to date them.
So it's basically just like a reimagining of There's Something About Miriam.
Wasn't my inspiration, but sure. It actually did come from a line in the first episode.
Bloody landlord.
Oh, you know, those Jews are like, what do we need to save money? Sometimes I think Hitler had the right idea.
Alex is going on a date and a guy says that maybe Hitler had the right idea.
Whilst he's like nuzzling her neck.
That's an interesting move. I've never gotten that dank while trying to hook up with anything.
I mean, you're not going to find too many people that are on board with that. So that's not first date material.
No. That's like...
It's a pretty daring move. Like that's a long play if you think that's going to work.
I mean, this is a tangent, but can you... It's like... It's just absurd to think that a show like There's Something About Miriam existed.
Have we touched on this before?
No,
I feel like
it's real bad.
It was the show, it was the English dating show where there was all these guys vying for the heart of the one central woman, Miriam. And she was transgender. And the guy who
and
won.
And they didn't tell her?
No, they didn't tell the guy until the end.
I remember
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she, I used to watch that.
Yeah.
I feel like there were some lawsuits that came out of that show.
Oh, yeah, there were many. All the contestants sued because they're like, like it's like we've been misled the entire time.
Yeah, and then tried to paint them like they were transphobic or something because they weren't interested.
But it was all, but the thing is, it's like you, putting that as a game show is really.
It's so on the nose. Yeah. Man. Just morally questionable. Yeah.
Serious ethical issues.
Yeah.
Well, it was a different place 10 years ago.
Hopefully, my show is a little bit more palatable, maybe. Mm. I don't know. I can't imagine quite what the secrets would be.
So you're still walking to a market.
Yeah. Anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Maybe not one of them.
More anti-Semitism, less.
It's an anti-Semitism-based show. Okay. Really.
What is born from anti-Semitism?
It's probably not going to fly. Maybe St. Kilda proper, but trying to sell that in an East St. Kilda, you can struggle.
All right. Well, we'll show around.
Come on.
Yes. yeah, probably. It's a strange place to get inspiration from, but it does make sense.
The secret.
The secret.
And it can overtake the other secret, which I think gets too much credit when people say the word secret. Because it's just bullshit.
It is. So let's jump out of reboots and move into the IMDb list.
Of the week.
Of the month.
Of the month. Of the episode.
Of the episode, yeah.
So this one has not been
simple.
Airmailed over from Sweden. It has also not been simple. Unsurprisingly, there are not a lot of lists that this show features in that aren't just Aussie TV shows or versions of that same list.
My favorite voiceover artists.
But I feel like you might be okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
Left-wing propaganda in TV and cinema, part two.
Oh, I am all about this.
Oh, this is
now,
good.
There is a very, very long description.
All right.
I'm intrigued.
Do you want to give us some of it?
All right.
At the very least. Start.
Since World War II, the success of capitalism has had Western Marxists fuming and foaming at the mouth, desperate to discredit it. Yet how does one fight against something that works, especially when one's own alternative ideology has been proven time and time again to be an utter failure?
This was definitely written by a second year art student.
Yeah, yeah. Fedorate. So it's like Fedora, but the A's replaced with an A.
Oh, that doesn't help.
Yeah. Mm. Marxists tried taking concrete physical action by taking their misguided course of the streets in the late 60s, but it didn't work, aside from a few Soviet-influenced leftist college professors and a bunch of bored, gullible students. The masses pretty much did not want a red revolution, in the slightest.
Okay.
So, I mean, I didn't get a lot of Marxist undertones / overtones from The Secret Life of Us.
But they
all seemed kind of like inner city lefties.
I think further in, Gabby,
yeah,
who didn't feature much the first episode,
joins Mao's Red Army.
Basically, yeah. I think she's a lawyer for one of the unions.
Okay.
Or like, yeah, she's representing like a factory worker in some
like
sex
discrimination. Like Slater and Gordon or something.
No, not it. Like, I think she's just a lawyer for one of the unions. Like works for one of the unions. Or is like a community lawyer.
Mm.
Okay.
That's pretty Marxist.
And I think at some point Claudia Carvin dates Stalin in the series.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
There's that too.
That.
Played by Vince Colosimo.
Yeah.
So that's who he was.
Sometimes he just thinks that Hitler was onto something. So, you know.
So, should we just go through some notable shows that feature in this list?
Yes.
I'd like
and
to.
And again, this is part two. So, part one.
Is there any explanation for why The Secret Life of Us is on this list?
No explanations, unfortunately, in this list.
Self-evident,
yeah.
Maybe. So, hang on. Did you say these are Australian shows?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No.
I was trying to think of some.
Movies and TV shows.
Oh, wow.
That exists.
Feature left-wing propaganda.
Let's see. A Time to Kill.
Okay.
Which is the Michael Clayton.
What?
Let's have a look. And it's like this list, this is part two and it's 237.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, it's probably like every film ever made.
Have they seen all of these?
K-Pax,
that's the question.
Google Hunting.
K-Pax.
K-Pax, yeah.
Kevin Spacey's K-Pax.
Yeah, Crash.
It's about an alien.
Contact, also about an alien, right?
Contact?
Yeah.
The one with Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Smokey and the Bandit is going to be the shallowest film ever made.
Left-wing propaganda mocks.
Apparently.
See through the lies.
Classic
please.
Burt Reynolds. He was actually like a real heavy communist.
Eric Banner's 2003 version of Hulk.
Right.
Well, that's obvious, though.
Everyone knows. I guess, yeah, fair enough.
What else have we got here?
Heavy Marxist time.
Oh, The Simpsons. Okay, that's just chucked in there. The Grapes of Wrath. I mean, you get the idea. Every single TV show ever or movie ever is obviously...
Any film that criticises society in any way or makes any kind of commentary on...
Leftist propaganda.
It seems patternless, this entire list. Fedorite.
Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Fedorite, you failed.
You failed.
Let's see what else
is... Standing invitation to come here and fight me.
What else is Fedorite authored, if we may so indulge ourselves? Non-liberals in showbiz. Okay, that makes sense. Actresses and singers with breast implants.
Oh.
Okay, informative.
Sure.
Nepotism, Hollywood's dirty secret. And obviously, left-wing propaganda in TV and cinema part one.
What? Hey, oh, so what's in nepotism?
I don't think it's a dirty secret that Hollywood's built on nepotism.
I think it's pretty open.
Yeah.
So like, who's in?
Do you
want to
know? You want to know nepotism?
Yeah. Let's do a little bit of a dive.
David Schwimmer. Son of a powerful Hollywood lawyer. Talk about a rock-solid connection that can fail no matter the amount of non-talent. Maybe I've never seen a comedian worse than him. Not sure yet, because it's so tough to rank people who are totally unfunny.
Does he know that there's not an exam you do to like get into Hollywood?
No.
You don't need a degree.
No. There's no system.
David Schwimmer, like, I wouldn't call him a comedian. He was just in a very famous show that's a comedy.
Angelica Houston, Laura Dern... Jennifer Aniston, Casey Affleck.
So these are just family members of famous people.
Adrian Brody, Jason Schwartzman, Sofia Coppola, Daniel Radcliffe, Rumor Willis. Well, that makes sense. Like, obviously, that's kind of nepotism if it's...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Can't help being related to people.
They're just a part of famous
families.
David
Arquette, Drew Barrymore, Kiefer Sutherland.
These people should have got Colin famous Hanks. Their own right.
Yeah, Colin Hanks, yeah. What else is Colin Hanks to do?
You got
to
change
into
your
Colin
name.
Colin Hanks' defense.
Yeah, he looks so much like Tom Hanks. Nobody's getting fooled.
And he's not like Colin Hanks isn't exactly, you know, he's just middle of the road actor. There's nothing.
Rooney Mara, Courtney Love.
Who's Rooney Mara related to?
Sarah Gilbert from Roseanne.
Darlene.
Christian
her
Slater.
Her family own like the New York Giants or something.
Oh.
Or like her. Them or something.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mm. What's Jake Gyllenhaal?
Miley Cyrus.
Sister of Maggie.
I don't know that Billy Ray has much weight to throw around Hollywood boardrooms.
Billy Ray, real big dick. You don't mess with Billy Ray. I mean,
Mafia. If you're going to focus your energies on uncovering nepotism, like look at like politics or like.
Yeah, there
government
are
government structures. Yeah, like,
it's not. No one's trying to hide it in Hollywood. The fact that Jaden Smith is famous, everyone knows it's because his dad's Will Smith.
In fact, it's often discussed. These people are famous. Like, oh, they're part of a very talented family. They're from this family.
Kardashians.
All right, can I distract you away from this list with a reboot?
He's going to read this in his private time.
It's
pre bed ritual,
my pantsless private time.
Please don't.
We've got a reboot that has been sent in regarding Airwolf. Little bit, 5 episodes ago, something like that? 5, 6?
About that.
There's only one actor who's been recast, and they haven't actually been recast. It's just the same person. It's Jan Michael Vincent playing Stringfellow, because you can't really change that.
You can't really.
No, it's a winning formula.
You can't take the Stringfellow out.
Of the
Jan. You can't Michael Vincent out the Stringfellow. Anyway, just
don't try and Michael down our Vincent.
Exactly. No. That's what I'm trying to say.
So, here's the show description. Some teens go wandering in the woods looking for proof of an old legend. They stumble upon the abandoned cabin of Stringfellow Hawk, who no one has seen for decades. They get lost and one of their party disappears. They're stuck in the woods. As night falls, they hear the sound of a clarinet on the wind as an eagle flies overhead. They're attacked and killed by the coke-fueled ghost of Stringfellow. The incident is documented on their Snapchat story. The show is called The Blair Wolf Project. There you go.
I like it. Was he playing a clarinet?
No, it was a cello. So that was what...
close.
So, you know...
This listener didn't watch the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Most people haven't. Let's be completely honest.
So, you know...
Who was the listener?
They were from Lynchpin... Sweden.
Linchpin in Sweden. I wonder who that could have been.
Linchpin in Sweden. Yeah, mystery. I'm not sure.
Not a bad idea. It was cello, not clarinet. I feel like we made that clear in the episode, but...
That's right. Well, they're obviously not an avid listener.
Clearly not. Anyway,
I enjoyed it. A passing interest in there.
I love the idea of a coke-fueled ghost coming after somebody.
And the little slight touch of rather it being a handheld camcorder, like the Snapchat story.
Yeah, like that. Perfect. Very modern. So, look, let's move into final thoughts of Secret Life of Us. I think this is a show very worth our time. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but no. I think it's because I'm just geared to thinking that everything's going to be bad.
Well, George has been inspired to binge watch the whole show now.
Oh, really?
Again.
Rewatch.
Mm. Yeah, she's good. The wisdom teeth are coming back.
Here's the...
They've grown back.
The real question is, how are you going to watch it? Because we all watched it on 7
yeah,
Plus.
Yeah, it was insufferable.
And get about 9 ads per 40 minutes, and they're all for the same thing.
Was your audio all out of sync when you were watching
it? Yeah, by the end of it.
So frustrating. It looked like it was dubbed.
Mine wasn't too bad.
Oh, it was terrible.
It ended up looking like Kung Pao.
That's how I like to watch my shows. Out of sync.
Did you guys see the ad for... because sometimes they'll have ads for things on Channel 7, which makes no goddamn sense. Because why would people... Anyway... there was an ad for a, what was it? Like a wedding show? Bride and Prejudice?
Oh, yeah. I've seen a few apps of that. Yeah.
God, that looks like manipulative.
It's so terrible.
Faff.
Yeah.
Candidate for the show?
Look, mate, no.
Short answer, no. I do actually, while we're talking about candidates for the show, I'm not sure whether we've discussed this with you, Scott.
All the listeners for that.
All the listeners. So we had,
it'd be weird if you discuss it with the listeners and not me.
Well, you know.
That'd be strange.
But I'll open this up to the floor because this was brought up to us. We, Jeremy and I watched the first episode of Rock of Love with Brett Michaels. Which with a couple of friends. Well, one friend in particular, he insisted that we watch it.
Yeah, we had
it.
No choice really.
He kind of forced it.
Just like tied down and we pried our eyes open.
Pretty much. Yeah. Have you ever seen that scene in...
Clockwork Orange?
Yeah, it was a bit like that. We didn't want to do it, but he overpowered all five of us. But anyway, he suggested watching the first episode of The Rock of Love and then the last one.
And seeing how they get to the unfortunate contestant that wins Brett Michaels' love.
Pick our horse.
That'd be fun.
I can tell you that first episode was quite the ride.
I've seen a bit of that and it's freaky.
It's
like
insane.
The way he very much makes an effort to kiss all of them on the lips at least once. In a real gross kind of way.
Oh, yeah. He does. It is sickening how he preys on all of these women. And a lot of them have like alcohol problems and
it's
fucked
so
up.
Depressing.
You can't say that they didn't know what they were signing up for.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's still
disgusting.
It's potentially taking advantage of vulnerable people.
Yeah. I mean, eight out of 10 of the contestants were all like strippers and just like really weird, just all batshit crazy. And like we watched the episode.
Was he Poison?
Yeah, it's Poison.
Massive Poison fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's
that
just
depressing.
Not.
Always wearing a bandana and a cowboy hat.
See, he has a really creepy face.
It's really creepy. Oh, yeah.
Plastic surgery would do
like
that.
Imagine and a hairpiece. In the moonlight seeing that face in bed next to you.
Oh, it's like Thriller. It's
He's
it's
got
horrifying.
That look where he's always like a little bit like he's, it's like he's always a little oily.
Yeah.
Like constantly a little oily.
So that could be on the upcoming episode list.
Audio
I think it's worth. I think it's worth exploring, but we'll talk.
Could be good. There would be some great little clips, I'm sure, that we could.
There'd be some fantastic
we could
clips.
Pinch from those episodes.
Yeah. But anyway, so Secret Life of Us, worth our time.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a seems like a pretty decent show. All in all,
yeah.
Not having seen
well-meaning.
A lot of it.
Will you actually be rewatching
quality
it,
Australian content?
I think I might.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But how are you going to watch it? Because you've got to watch the ads.
Yeah, seven
buy them on DVD. Go rent them from the
Do you know
Maribyrnong
how I watched
library?
The first time? I went to my local library and rented the DVDs and watched it on my little laptop.
Still got a library card.
It's a resource. You've got a CD drive.
I love the library. Support your local library.
Hot take.
Well, probably just leave it there, I think. Jeremy, where can people find us online?
TheIncompleteSeries.com is our website. We are The Incomplete Series on Facebook. Podcast TIS on Instagram and Twitter.
Just Twitter.
At The Incomplete Series on Instagram.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have Instagram. I don't believe in it. are we on Snapchat?
I don't think we're on Snapchat.
I think we were I think we were going to sign up at one point with the handle Schlongs in the Suburbs, which was Adam's reboot for Sex and the City.
Yeah, Schlongs in the Suburbs.
But I don't think it happened.
Not enough schlongs.
Not enough diversity of schlongs.
And obviously, just download us from whatever podcasting platform you're currently listening to us on.
And
you're clearly doing something right.
It'd be weird if we asked you to change at this point. Yeah. That'd
just
be strange.
Stick with it if you can. Rate, review. It helps. Get us out there more. George, I'd like to thank you for joining us for these last couple of episodes.
It was a very humbling experience. Thank you.
It's been nice to have some diversity, and it's kind of nice.
Yes.
It's kind of nice having like a little bit more of a, like the last couple of episodes have been difficult with just me, Scott, and Jez. We need a Jez buffer.
Yeah.
I feel like he's gone off the rails.
You're more experienced with wrangling than the rest of us.
That's my full-time job.
Jeremy's full-time carer.
My mom pays her a wage.
It's time we revealed the relationship. I'm his carer.
It all makes sense to me now.
Carey.
Well, I'm glad someone has to look after him because it is a full-time job. But look, thank you, Scott.
Hey, thank you, Morgan.
Thank you, Jez.
Thanks, Morgs.
And thank you, George.
Thank you, everyone.